everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, the first day of February 2012. Today marks the start of our ninth month of the Buckmaster Show here on KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240, our friends listening in Globe and Gila County, and in Cochise County and all of southeastern Arizona, it's KAPR AM 930 out of Douglas to hear the Buckmaster Show. We have live streaming of the program at my website. It's buckmastershow.com and at the station's website, kvoi.com. And there are three venues that you can check out our program anywhere, anytime: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. So lots of places to check out our program. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We'll begin with a conversation with former U.S. Senator Dennis DeConcini. Senator DeConcini is a member, of course, of the Arizona Board of Regents, which oversees Arizona's three universities. Then at 20 minutes past the hour, Tucson-based writer Tom Miller, who is just back from Cuba, will be joining us. Then at half past the hour, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Arizona history, Ken Scoville, will join us. We'll be discussing the upcoming Old Fort Lowell days. And then we will close out the show with an update from the Arizona State Capitol. We'll be talking with a newsmaker interview with State Senator Linda Lopez. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can always call us anytime on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Well, Governor Brewer's budget plan for fiscal year 2013 calls for $30 million in new money for higher education and $15 million in new state dollars to be directed toward performance funding for the universities. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is former Democratic U.S. Senator Dennis DeConcini. Senator DeConcini represented Arizona from 1977 to 1995. He is a member of the Arizona Board of Regents. Senator, how are you today?
Bill, I'm very, very well, and I want to just take a moment and thank you for inviting me to be on the Bill Buckmaster Show. You have such a long record of journalism contributions that I'm honored that you would invite me to kind of lead off on your ninth month. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the we're getting into the 9 months here, how time flies. And before we talk a little bit about the budget situation in higher education, lots of interest, of course, here in Tucson and Southern Arizona, folks listening to the Buckmaster Show throughout Southern Arizona, wondering how is the search coming for a new University of Arizona president? And perhaps you could assess the interest level and give us some kind of a timetable.
Well, it's a very aggressive search. The Board of Regents appointed a search committee, and my fellow regent, Richard Myers from Tucson, and myself are the chair of that. I think there's 23 of us on it, 8 members of the Board of Regents and other people. We set up a structure where we attempted to be very inclusive. We have an advisory council that we have met with to seek information. We've held public forums around the state. Unfortunately, I was out of the country for much of those, but I did take a look. Some of them were videoed, and there was transcripts for them to hear what, you know, the positive things, but also any input of what could be changed to make the university better. And that has culminated now into the process that we have hired, retained a very competent, experienced search consultant who has done a number of these searches for presidents, for provosts, for deans, and even for some coaches. And they are universal in the United States. They've done it in almost every state. They've done over 1,000 searches, and they're well, well respected. And we cut a deal here that they would only do us, the University of Arizona, or the Board of Regents search for President University of Arizona, which is an AA university, and that's the top public universities in research, and Arizona is one of those. And so we are off to a start. We've been doing, we call them conversations, to be sure that we do not get in a problem of interpreting that we have candidates, because that by Arizona statute and Supreme Court decision means that you then must publicize everything that you're doing about them. And many of these people who are interested in coming here are sitting presidents or sitting provosts, and they don't want that exposed until they are perhaps a finalist. The interest has been very good. The only problem we face that I see is that the competition is also extremely high. When we started this, there were 12 AAU universities looking for a new president. There are over 15 universities, many of them top quality universities, private and public, that are looking for new presidents. So the market is a tad bit limited, and it's very competitive. So we have to be competitive in planning the timing and getting to know these people and presenting them to the regents and the search committee. And we've been aggressively doing that. I know you're interested in timeline. We haven't set a firm schedule because of the competitiveness here and afraid concern that somebody might get picked off before we might decide. And we have kept the search committee active, even though right now it is not functioning as it was before, because we are in the process of trying to get some finalists that we can present to the Board of Regents, and we haven't got there yet, but we're getting closer. Our timeline is, the best scenario would be that we at our February meeting, which is the last part of the 16th and 17th, middle of February, we might have a candidate, and I underscore might. We're not going to settle for somebody that can't, in our opinion, take the University of Arizona to the next level of a not only top research university, but one of the best, if not the best, top research university. That's our goal.
Senator, did I hear you right that there might be a candidate by the end of this month?
There might be. I'm a little bit reluctant to throw that out, but that was the original timeline. And my best judgment is, Bill, we will probably not make that. The fact that we pick a candidate wouldn't mean that we would have a new president coming in until perhaps way in spring or even midsummer, because they have to deal with their own university that they may be at. That's what we're trying to do. I'm more on the cautious side. I think it's going to be later in the spring that we will have some prospects that we will present to the board so that the board can actually make a decision.
But it is safe to say that the search is narrowing and a candidate could come this spring.
Yes, sir. That's our hope, and I think we will make that. We're very fortunate, as you know, because you know him. President Gene Sanders has agreed to be the president of the University of Arizona during this time. He's well respected, been with the university for 20 years, is a former dean, and actually he was a temporary provost at the University of Arizona. Yeah, he has a real knowledge of how it works, and it's doing very, very well under his leadership. He's inclusive. He knows the faculty. He knows the ups and downs of dealing with the faculty and the administrative staff, the legislature, and what have you. And we're very fortunate that we're not under a stress position that, oh, my God, we don't have any leadership. We got to get somebody tomorrow.
Senator DeConcini is with us on the Buckmaster Show. It sounds like they're moving some dishes there.
They are. I'm sorry. I'm in a lobby here. And, they're moving away from me.
Oh, okay.
I apologize for that.
No problem,
on
Senator.
On a cell phone in a lobby of a hotel.
I understand.
I'll tell them stop preparing any food.
The time always flies by when we talk with you, and I wish we had scheduled a little more time, but we are quickly running out of it. I've only got about 4 or 5 minutes. Give me an update on the budget situation for higher education.
Well, our universities have suffered immensely by the economic conditions here, and I try not to be partisan, but our legislature has been very short-sighted, in my opinion, of taking the cuts towards education, higher education, and K through 12 education. There is no better economic, and it's proven time and time, study after study, there's no better economic engine than higher education. If you get a baccalaureate degree, you're going to make, on average, over $1 million more a year than if you don't. And so it is, and if you get a graduate degree and a doctor's degree or master's degree, you're going to make even more. Now, that doesn't mean everybody is going to do that, and a lot of them are going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. But it produces jobs, it produces economic input to the state. Our legislature, over the past three or four years, has cut us more than $400 million across the board. So we have had a difficult time. We've had to pare back. We've had to enlarge classes. We've had to ask the presidents to make cuts. We've had to raise tuition against my voting ability. And we've raised the debt of our students in Arizona. And that is most unfortunate. Fortunately, the governor's budget this year is a little bit of reprieve. As you mentioned, $30 million. And some of it is questionable as to, in my judgment, exactly where it would go. But I wish the governor would be more, instead of trying to buy back the Capitol this year. I understand the symbolism of that, but that was done under stress. They've got options. They can do that in better times. Would put more into education. And the Board of Regents, I can't speak for them, nor do I try to. We will try to build the trust that invest in higher education, and you will improve the quality of life and the economic benefit of all Arizona.
We're going to have to run here, Senator, but our good friend Matt Russell, as you know, well-known Tucson publicist who also hosts our Weekend Watch here on Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, sends his regards. I understand he was one of the DeConcini interns back in 1984.
Yes, he was, and I that's way last century, but indeed I was really fortunate to have him. Numerous interns. I believed in a big intern program. In the summertime, we'd have a dozen, and every semester we'd have two or three, because I just believe that you can learn a lot. And I do remember him. And you know, it's a great experience. And some of them, even become public officials. My gosh,
Senator,
or journalists.
Yeah, Senator. Thank you very much for spending
some
time.
You're welcome, Bill. It's always great to be with you. You conduct yourself such a professional way. I'm not being patronizing. I'm just being out of my respect, having worked with you for so many years at the University of Arizona. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Senator Dennis DeConcini with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 1218, stay with us. We'll talk about Cuba coming up with writer Tom Miller. That's next.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor, and the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than two dozen on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. $12.21 on the Buckmaster Show. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. A new study by the Brookings Institute, the think tank, shows that things are going from bad to worse in Cuba. Are they? Well, we'll talk with Tucson writer Tom Miller, who is just back from Cuba, where he was leading a group of Tucson residents on a literary tour of the island. The San Francisco Chronicle calls Tom Miller one of America's best nonfiction writers. Based here in Tucson, Tom is the author of many books, including On the Border, The Panama Hat Trail, Trading with the Enemy, A Yankee Travels Through Castro's Cuba, Jack Ruby's Kitchen Sink, which won the Lowell Thomas Award for the best travel book in 2001, How I Learned English, and Revenge of the Saguaros. Tom, how are you? How was your trip to Cuba?
It was terrific. It was probably the best one I've had.
Why was it so successful? Why was this one a good one?
I'm talking about leading trips, not just living there. I lived there for 8 months about 20 years ago, but since then I've been going back almost every year leading educational tours. This last one, I was very careful on the recruiting. Well over half of the people were from Tucson. And it was a literary tour that I custom designed for these people. And everything fell into place very nicely.
How are the conditions right now in Cuba?
I would say a half notch better than they were a year ago.
Really?
Yes.
It is contrary to this report from the Brookings Institute.
Yeah, the Brookings Institute report was written by Andres Oppenheimer, who hasn't been there in 20, 25 years, and wrote a book 20 years ago called Castro's Final Hour. His credibility is close to zip.
Well, he lists that Cuba's average income is one of the lowest in Latin America, 448 pesos a month. I think that's about $20, right, at the official exchange rate. He says that's horrible.
Well, I say it's horrible too, but it doesn't take into account the almost free housing, almost free medical care, almost free education, K through college.
He also talks about the model that Cuba continues to operate under, the Soviet model, which is so out of date, according to Mr. Oppenheimer.
Oh, he's right there. The economic model they have has never worked well. Even Fidel Castro, the retired president, acknowledges that.
What is, you said things seem to be a little bit better. Where are you seeing that improvement?
You can see that in the street, because one of the economic changes, not political changes, I don't expect any political change there, but one of the economic changes is that whenever something goes well on the black market, the government moves in to take it over and license and tax it. And that's exactly what they've done. Things like black market, pedicured, manicure services, watch repair, little mom-and-pop operations, filling up your lighter with a fluid, eyeglass repair, things that you can just put a desk out in front of you or a table out in front of your home and provide a service. The government is now encouraging those things, and people have come out of the closet, as it were, on things like that. And so it's keeping a little more cash flowing in the economy.
Speaking with Tom Miller, among his books, Trading with the Enemy, A Yankee Travels Through Castro's Cuba. That book is still available, isn't it, Tom?
It is.
And
yes.
How many printings is that? That's done very
this
well.
This is the fourth printing plus a German edition.
How about tourism, Tom? Are things loosening up? There are more opportunities, I understand, to travel to Cuba for Americans from more American cities, more airports.
Under Clinton, there was very loose regulations, meaning almost anybody could go if they were, you know, University of Arizona Architecture Alumni Association could go. Any group could go, could get a license from the Treasury Department. That was very much tightened under Bush and has been relaxed very much so under Obama. So not only Cuban-born people can go back and forth with no difficulty, but you can form groups around a certain theme, such as Literary Havana, and have professional researchers accompany you.
The guessing game continues over Fidel's health. How is it?
It's a guess, but he's still with us, as of 9 this morning.
President is Raul Castro, and has there been really much change since the brother took over?
As a matter of fact, yes. It's not just the little mom-and-pop operations I was talking about, but one can buy and sell cars, one can buy and sell homes. This was not possible under Fidel.
Do you expect further loosening from the American government?
Not really. I think it's one of those things where there's no percentage in it. It's better to maintain a bad policy than to introduce a new one.
But tourism has become a huge part of the dollars that are flowing in there, right? I mean, Canadian tourists are flocking to the island from European tourists as well.
Not just a large part. It is the dominant part of the economy now. It has overtaken sugar production, sugar exports. Tourism is down slightly this year, except from the United States, where it is up this year.
Hmm. Tom Miller, what are you working on lately? I know that you are very active in the Festival of Books that's coming up. Are going to be involved as well this year?
My activity at the Festival of Books is on Sunday afternoon, March 11th, an interview with Larry McMurtry and Diana Ossana.
I mean, this book festival really has taken off, hasn't it?
Remarkably so, just remarkably so. It is now known around the country. It takes 2 or 3 years to get a certain national reputation, but they've been building very well, and they've been bringing in good authors. I have nothing but praise for it.
Speaking with Tom Miller, a local writer who has written extensively on Cuba, when you did your literary tour, what were some of the highlights? What jumps out? What did your guests really enjoy the most on the literary tour?
Well, one of the things was a very conventional part of everybody's tour, and that is visiting the Hemingway Museum,
the
house that he used to live in.
I'd love to see that.
One of the things was something I put together, which was a very well-known poet. It sounds like a contradiction, but a well-known Cuban poet named Reina Maria Rodriguez had us over to her place, a fifth-floor walk-up on the rooftop of her house, and we had a poetry reading there, and it was quite remarkable. We even came to the point where one of our participants, James Reel of National Public Radio here in Tucson, read her poems in English, and she followed by reading her the same poem in Spanish. Quite remarkable.
Sounds like you had a fantastic time. And how many years have you been doing this literary tour?
This is the third or fourth one. I'm hoping to do it once a year.
Is there a place that folks can get information on your website?
Not on my website. More an outfit called Cuba Tours and Travel. that might be the best place to go to find out about it.
But if people want more information about what you do, they can go to your website,
they can
correct?
Go to TomMillerBooks.com.
TomMillerBooks.com. Tom Miller, always good to see you. Thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
A pleasure, as always.
Thanks a lot. Tom Miller with us on the Buckmaster Show as we now quickly approach 12:30. Lots of activities coming up, as you would expect, associated with the big Arizona Centennial. We'll be talking with our historian on the Buckmaster Show, Ken Scoville. That is next. Stay with us. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Defense officials say there is no way to completely eliminate the risk of an attack on U.S. troops in Afghanistan by supposedly friendly troops fighting alongside them. They told members of a House panel today that those kind of attacks are on the increase. Authorities in Florida say they did not know for a couple of days that the body of an additional victim was in a pickup truck involved in Sunday's deadly pileups. Because the truck was burned and crushed so badly, the discovery of the body brings to 11 the number of people killed in the pileup on Interstate 75. Bail has been set at $23 million for a former elementary school teacher accused of taking inappropriate photos of children in his classroom in Los Angeles. On Wall Street, the Dow up 127 points. This is SRN.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Well, 34 on the Buckmaster Show. As you would imagine, when we have a centennial coming up, there is a lot going on. And one of the things going on is the old Fort Lowell days, and that's not necessarily tied to the centennial, but it is an annual celebration, and of course the centennial coincides pretty much with the old Fort Lowell days. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is our contributor on local history, Ken Scoville. Mr. Scoville, a native Arizonan, he's been a teacher in Tucson for many years. He writes and lectures extensively on Tucson's history. Ken, good to see you.
Hi, Bill. Nice to see you.
And speaking of old Fort Lowell days, you're kind of going to give a preview. The Fort Lowell days, of the historic sites at Fort Lowell this year is February 11th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. But this Sunday, from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll be over at the little chapel,
San Pedro Chapel,
and you're going to be doing a talk. What are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about, and this is one of the things that I find fascinating about the Fort Lowell area and the historic district, is that you can discover the history of Arizona by walking around the Fort Lowell Historic District. So that's what my talk is really on. That Fort Lowell is a microcosm of the history of Arizona.
Fort Lowell, really, and we're talking about the centennial celebration. They're tying in some of the centennial events with Fort Lowell. You said there were, before we went on here, you said they're going to be a vintage baseball
there's
game.
There's going to be a vintage baseball.
Did they play baseball in the old days at Fort Lowell?
People don't realize, people had a life even when they were out on the military base in the 1870s and 80s, that all the military posts had, Fort Huachuca especially, had baseball teams, and they played baseball, compete against each other, and they're sort of recreating a vintage baseball team contest, and they all had bands, and they played concerts for the people in Tucson and that kind of thing.
Fort Lowell really does fit into the celebration because of the history of Arizona. I guess the question that historians would ask and then try to answer is, why is Arizona the state it is? And that probably is the question that will be foremost when it comes up here on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February of this month, the centennial of Arizona.
Right, Bill. And being a native Arizonan growing up in Phoenix, and I can still remember going down with my father to the post office to get the commemorative stamps in 1962 for the 50th celebration of the centennial. So I've always been interested in Arizona, and I think answering that question, why is Arizona the state that it is today, there's four things. There's lots of things that have gone on, but they fit pretty well into the physical features of the state, and even in Tucson and Fort Lowell, the cultural layers. All the different people have been here from prehistoric times, the native people. We were part of Spain, Mexico, territory, up to statehood, and that's all impacted our food, our culture, our architecture, and then also that we've denied our environmental limitations, especially water. And then the last one, our really economy based on extraction, mineral wealth, growth in real estate speculation.
And Fort Lowell was chosen because of the Rito, or which means little river in English.
Correct. And you have to realize that what an oasis that was in the desert for people coming hundreds of miles just through creosote. Then you would find this corridor of cottonwood trees and mesquites with the water flowing that obviously people said, this is a place we want to stay.
The horse soldiers at Fort Lowell are remembered not only at the Fort Lowell Museum, but over in Trail Dust Town, there is the Museum of the Horse Soldier. And joining us on the Buckmaster Show, a live line, is Ray Whitley. He's the curator of the museum. Ray, what is going to be going on in conjunction with the centennial and your museum there?
Well, to tie in with the 100 years of statehood, we're also tying in 50 years of statehood. As a Tucson icon, Trail Dust Town has been celebrating people's birthdays for a number of years. I would say that we probably host more birthdays here than any other location in Tucson. So it seemed just fitting to commemorate not only the state's birthday, but as well Trail Dust Town's birthday.
What can people find at your museum?
Well, we have the largest collection of U.S. cavalry equipment, mounted cavalry equipment. So in saying that, we have every military saddle that was used by both cavalry and artillery from the 1847 Dragoon Grimsley all the way into the last of the horse cavalry going into World War II.
Tell me about Trail Dust Town. Why was it formed? Was it a commercial enterprise?
It was. Originally, it was set for a Glenn Ford movie, and then it was abandoned. And in 1962, it opened up as Trail Dust Town in Pinnacle Peak. It's currently owned by Agro Land and Cattle, who have had it for a number of years. Dan Bates, who has a strong connection with Fort Lowell Park, probably the most iconic identifier for the park is Chief Trumpeter, who was sculpted and donated by Dan Bates. So we here at Trail Dust Town have been celebrating Tucson's history as well as the state's history for 50 years.
And coming up Sunday, February 12th, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., all sorts of activities there, Ray?
Yes, sir. It starts at 11 o'clock with a posting of the colors, and the 4th Cavalry Brass Band will be in the gazebo. So after we post the colors, we'll have a ribbon cutting to commemorate both the 50th anniversary of Trail Dust Town as well as the 100th, coming 100th of the state. So we'll have, besides that, there's going to be in the plaza pre-1912 vehicles. So we have about six of these pre-1912 vehicles parked throughout, as well as the Southwest Military Collectors Association vehicle club is going to have about 30 vehicles in the front of Trail Dust Town. And besides that, we have living history demonstrations, both from the Tucson Presidio Park as well as some from around the state that we've gotten together, just different partners and supporters of the museum as well as Trail Dust Town. We're going to be featuring Loop Rollins, who is a world-class Wild West performer. He does whip tricks, rope tricks, as well as gun tricks. And he started off here at Trail Dust Town a number of years ago when he was 14. Now he's based out of Las Vegas and travels all over the world.
Ray, we're going to have to wrap it up here
sure,
with you.
Not a problem.
So where can people get more information about your event?
If you go to www.traildusttown.com, the full itinerary and schedule will be posted, or is posted.
Ray Whitley, who's the curator at the Museum of the Horse at Trail Dust Town, celebrating its 50th anniversary, coming up lots of activities on February the 12th. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, Ray Whitley with us back now in studio. We have Mr. Scoville, and we're talking about the centennial of Arizona. We've been talking about Fort Lowell Days and the talk that you will be giving coming up. But talk a little bit about the population growth from statehood days. We're talking it's really pretty dramatic when you think about the growth of Phoenix and Tucson.
Sure. And just realizing, and this was from the 1910 census because we didn't do one actually in 1912, but Phoenix and Maricopa County in 1912 approximately would be 11,000 and 34,000. Today, the metropolitan region in Phoenix is over 4 million people.
Mm.
And in Tucson, and this is another little sidebar, Tucson used to be the big city until 1917. So our population was about 13,000 in 1912 and 22 in the county area. Today we're 52,000 and almost a million in the metropolitan region.
You know, we were hearing that about the Museum of the Horse and Fort Lowell Park and, of course, the horse soldiers. Was this considered pretty good duty to be, do you think, out here in Fort Lowell?
Well, Fort Lowell is better duty than Fort Yuma. And it was back then and probably would still be today on that from a temperature standpoint. But people did have a life. They had baseball teams. We had band concerts all the time. It was also the major hospital for Tucson. And I think for people to sort of, again, understand why Arizona is the place it is today, state that it is, and also Fort Lowell, it's always the physical features that define how we are, with the water from the Rito there. But when people enter into the state, let's say from the east, from New Mexico, and they're on the interstate freeway, they don't realize that they're following in the same pathways that Native people did, that the stagecoach did, that the railroad did. And when you go along I-8 to Yuma and the Gila River Trail and all that, we're following in the same pathways as we all started, and that's because of the physical features of the state, with the mountains in sort of an S shape through the middle of the state, with the plateaus at the top, the arid desert in the south. We have two corridors to get through Arizona, the northern route that you think of with the train today and the interstate, and the southern route with the train and interstate.
Your talk will be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. The Super Bowl doesn't start until a little after 4, so people can come to your talk, go home, and watch the Super Bowl. But the little chapel, tell me a little bit about that, the San Pedro Chapel. I've driven by there many times, never taken a look at it, but it looks kind of interesting.
It is really the heart and the historical landmark and center for the Fort Lowell community, given, again, thinking about cultural layers. Father Kino and all the missionaries really did their job with how much people of the belief of Catholicism in the Southwest. There was an earlier chapel that was destroyed by some kind of cyclonic event, and then this one, the current San Pedro Chapel, is in the late 1920s. There's also a tiny little chapel right up to the street called a Capelita, that there used to be a tiny little adobe structure that they reconstructed after they verified it with the archaeology. But the San Pedro Chapel actually was private, was owned by one family, and they waited until the Fort Lowell neighborhood could raise the money to save it. You get a total vista of the Catalina Mountains and a sense of how the water would run off the mountains and the snow melt to feed the Rito to cause the culture to emerge there at the time. So it's the heart of the Fort Lowell.
Historian Ken Scoville will be talking at San Pedro Chapel this Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then there's the Old Fort Lowell Historic Tour on February 11th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we're talking about the Museum of the Horse over at Trail Dust Town. Their big activities are February 12th. And, of course, there's all sorts of activities tied with the centennial be going on downtown and all over town, but we will be talking about that as we get closer to the date itself. Ken Scoville, thank you. Always a pleasure seeing you.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Ken Scoville with us on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Scoville is the Buckmaster Show historian, tries to come in at least once a month, and hopefully we'll see him real soon. We'll go up to the state legislature. State Senator Linda Lopez is coming up with an update on what's going on at the Capitol. Stay with us.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people, and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's whatsit with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Coming up on 1250 on the Buckmaster Show, we are flying along this hour, really moving here. Lots going on. We're going to go now to the state capitol on the Buckmaster Show. Live line is State Senator Linda Lopez, Democrat from Tucson. Senator Lopez, how are you today?
I'm fine, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. How would you assess this legislative session? I'm hearing that it looks like there will be no public input on some of the testimony on the new budget. What's going on there?
Well, the chair of Senate Appropriations, Don Shooter, has decided that when we have agency presentations on their budgets, that there will be no public testimony. So last Tuesday afternoon, we had presentations from Department of Economic Security and Department of Health Services. No one who is impacted by those budgets was able to testify. Those are people who have been denied child care, folks who have been denied developmental disabled services, across the board. Anybody who gets services through DES, they were not able to testify about the impact of the budget that the governor had submitted and that the Joint Legislative Budget Committee had submitted.
You complained loudly about this. Senator Shooter said that you're overreacting, and then Senator Ron Gould, the Republican from Lake Havasu City, said that you and your colleagues are just seeking to score political points, as he said, in front of TV cameras.
Well, the reality is what I would like to, and like some of my colleagues would like to have, is the ability to hear from the people who are directly impacted by the budget that this state enacts. Senator Shooter said, well, we won't hear now, but there'll be plenty of time to hear later when the actual budget bills are introduced. The reality is by the time those budget bills are introduced and they're heard in the Appropriations Committee, it's too late. The budget is done. The Republican majority have decided what that budget is going to look like. And so any testimony that comes at that point is too late. Any changes that will be made as a result of trying to get Republican votes on that budget, not as a result of public testimony.
State Senator Linda Lopez is with us on the Buckmaster Show. A new version of the Arizona campus guns bill is being proposed. Speaking of Senator Ron Gould, who was actually with us here on the Buckmaster Show a couple of weeks ago, now he has renewed his fight to allow students and professors to carry guns on campuses. Does it have legs?
Well, you know, the governor vetoed the previous one. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this one. There's a lot of public sentiment that opposes this. However, I think the sentiment of the majority here at the legislature is to put this through. Certainly not my sentiment, Bill. It'll be interesting to see where the governor comes down on this particular bill. Supposedly, he's made changes that would be more likely to get a governor's signature. We'll have to see as it goes through the process.
How does it look for the budget right now, other than the fact that no testimony is going to be heard from the public?
Well, there are cuts to the university. We just heard the university budgets yesterday. There are cuts to them on top of the cuts that have already been made. The K-12 budget was heard yesterday. Again, the cuts will have had over $2 billion worth of cuts since the beginning of this recession if the current proposal is enacted. You know, I would say that there's a couple of things in the K-12 budget that are pretty good. Funding is restored for adult education, not completely restored, but at least it'll draw down some federal dollars. The reality is the governor's budget may have some things in it that look fair and good, but there are other issues in there that we've got some real concerns about. Like I said, the DES budget, that includes Child Protective Services. The governor has some money in there to implement some recommendations from her CPS task force. My concern is that it's too little, too late, because it'll take a couple of years to get those implemented. In the meantime, we could have kids that continue to be at risk and vulnerable and perhaps may die as a result of the lack of moving quickly to implement the recommendations of that task force.
State Senator Linda Lopez is with us. Senator Lopez, a very close friend of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. I believe you were involved at Gabby's wedding. You were part of the wedding party, and you've been friends for many years. What was your reaction to the Congresswoman's decision?
It was a great relief to me. As I think I've said before to you, Bill, Gabby is my friend first. The political situation, that's a different, that's totally separate. My first concern is for Gabby as a human being, as a person. And I was concerned that the pressure put on her to try to run again or to continue to serve in office was really going to hinder her ability to recover. And so as soon as I heard that she had resigned, I had this wave of relief that that just went over me. I'm very pleased for her. I'm glad to see that she's going to take the time to do what she needs to do for herself.
What do you think about Matt Hines jumping into the race? So far, I believe he's the only Democrat.
Yeah, he's the only one who's officially announced at this point. I hear there might be some others. I mean, there's so much rumor and speculation in the Democratic circles about what's going to happen. You know, I think Matt's a good candidate. He has some good qualifications. He's a hard worker. I believe he's good at fundraising. He has proven, I believe, the ability to work across the aisle here at the Arizona legislature. So, you know, it's just going to be, can he get the folks together, the boots on the ground, so to speak, and the funding to support his candidacy to be successful, both in the special primary and in the special general? I mean, that's a very grueling timeline.
Are we going to have a special election here on these redistricting lines? That's what House Speaker Andy Tobin wants to spend millions of dollars on this. Yeah, for a special
election.
I think
I saw the estimate was $8 million to have the public vote on these lines. You know what? In reality, the public already voted on these lines, Bill, back when they passed the initiative that authorized the Independent Redistricting Commission. The public said they wanted that commission to draw the lines rather than the legislators themselves. And so here we have representatives of both parties and an independent sitting down and drawing lines that they think best reflects the needs of Arizona. Now we've got some Republican legislators who are upset with that, and they say, no, we don't like that, so we're going to go directly to the people, and at a huge cost, and I think second-guessing what voters have already said they want.
I mean, will this move forward? If you had to take a guess right now, do you think it's going to happen?
You know, anything can happen down here, Bill.
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest that anything's not possible. I haven't heard any real talk over here in the Senate amongst Republican senators about whether or not they'll support that. I know Democrats will oppose it. That's a given. But whether or not there's enough juice within the Republican caucus, both in the House and here in the Senate, to push something forward, it's kind of being quiet right now. That folks are being kind of quiet, so I don't really know if it's going to move through or not. I certainly hope not. I would certainly hope that citizens would say, no, we don't want that kind of money wasted. here in this state.
The columnist for the Arizona Republic, Robert Robb, was saying in today's paper that those maps are worth considering, but I don't think Mr. Robb goes so far as saying that a special election is worth it.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Linda Lopez with us on the Buckmaster Show. Any talk about when the legislative session, are they trying to wrap this up in less than 100 days?
That's my understanding. That's what the president had said to me before session started, that he wanted to be out in less than 100 days. I know that Speaker Tobin has said the same thing, and it's moving fast here. I hardly have time to breathe. It is boom, boom, boom. So I think if they have their way, we will be out in less than 100 days. Once they get a budget and they get agreement on that, there's not much keeping us here.
Linda Lopez, thank you very much, State Senator. Thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Bill. Anytime.
Thanks a lot. Linda Lopez with us, 1259 on the Buckmaster Show, which is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at Flowers Rieger. That's RIEGER.com. Flowers and Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow, Don Bivens, Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate, will be our leadoff interview tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. We're here live noon to 1, Monday through Friday on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.